Hello and welcome to the Chris Wolf Podcast on iCode Media. Today we're going to do a bonus episode number 51. And we're going to talk about habits and how habits reveal kind of the core beliefs or the true beliefs we have about the value of our care. And so I think this is helpful. You know, I've got Dr. Kyle Cloutey on the line, and I think, you know, he and I have discussed this numerous times, and you've seen Dr. Cloutey posting a lot on social media relating to some of these habits. But I wanted to talk to him about, on this bonus episode, about what does that say about how, like, what we believe about ourselves as optometrists. So Kyle, tell me the problem that you see within the habits that we have and how that informs us about the values or the value we perceive we have related to the care we're providing.
Yeah, great question, Chris. So what we have to realize is that our habits, like when we think about the habits that we have in within our clinical care, or it's our prescribing habits, or it's with our billing and coding habits, whatever we're doing there, that is pointing to what we truly believe about ourselves. Meaning, like, what are basically, I've heard it say that your beliefs about yourself, your beliefs are kind of the guardrails at which you make decisions in your life. And it was kind of brought to light really, really well in a really popular book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. We've talked about that book extensively here on this channel and at a lot of our lectures. But the key insight is that beliefs underlie actions, and actions reinforce those beliefs. So anytime we're trying to make any change in our lives, just in our personal lives or in our professional lives, which we know change is hard. Change is hard whether we're trying to do it for ourselves personally, or change is hard when we're trying to change protocols or habits at our practice within ourselves or our team. It's difficult. And so the best way to go about that change is not just to focus on exactly the actions that we need to take. It's also to understand that there are beliefs that underlie those actions. And so all that to say is, like, one way to help us improve, like, all of us, a lot of us want to grow our practices, right? We want to maybe take on more, maybe a specialty, or, you know, treat more dry eye, or increase our revenue, or bill and code better. But one thing that we tend to miss out on, and we forget, is that we have to not only know what to do, but we also have to adopt the right beliefs about what we are doing. Because we often see, as you and I work, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, that this can sound kind of like self-helpy. And I suppose it does a little bit, but yeah, but I think, but let me make it a little bit more concrete. I was on I think I've mentioned this before, maybe I haven't, but it was pretty recent. I was on an advisory board call, and the advisory board had acquired a bunch of information about the age with which optometrists were seeing patients. And what you saw was, like, first of all, the majority of patients who were seen, the very first time they were seen as patients, was like 11 or 12 years old. And so, so we've got this push, and it was like, so it's abysmal. It was like, you know, 4, 5, 6, you know, 3, 2, 1 year old. It's like those patients almost never get comprehensive exams from optometrists. And even yep. like when the patients are 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, they almost never are. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of problems with why that occurs. But if you think, I mean, I have not been in the profession, not even in, like, around the profession, without knowing what infancy was, or in Nebraska, what see to learn is. And basically there are these public health measures to be able to see patients young, young patients, 6 months and beyond, for no charge. And then you look at this and you see, well, why are we've been pushing this for 20 years. Our communities, our professional organizations have been involved in this for as long as I've been even remotely familiar with the profession. And yet we still have current data that shows us that almost nobody is seeing patients. Like, by and large, comprehensive eye care, comprehensive optometrists are almost never seeing patients under the age of about 10. And so like, what does that say about our beliefs, right? What does that say about optometry's beliefs? Yeah. Have we abdicated those to comprehensive, to primary care doctors? Do we not really like to see kids? You know, I have my opinions about that, but I think what it comes down to is there's a lot of kids who don't need glasses. And unfortunately, if we find value, if one of our belief systems is that we are valuable to a system when people need glasses or contact lenses to see well, and most of those patients don't need that, then we don't really want to see them. I don't know if that's true, but it just makes me wonder if, like, I'm not really sure if I really want to see them, right? And so I think that's kind of the thing that you're talking about is like, what do we see? What do we do? And what does that say about, like, I can only judge what I'm seeing. And yet, like, why do we see that? So I think that's kind of what you're talking about.
It is. And it's a great example because in my situation, you know, I went to a disease residency and really just wanted to treat glaucoma and posterior said conditions the rest of my career and never touch a contact lens or see a pediatric patient. But obviously, my career path has changed. I'm in primary eye care. And so even though pediatric care is not my favorite thing to do, what propels me, what I have to remind myself is really, I just have to come back to, what do I believe about this? What's the identity around my position as the primary eye care physician, right? My belief is that eyesight is precious, and it's precious for a 3-year-old, and it's precious for a 68-year-old with glaucoma, right? And so even if they don't need glasses, like, I need to assume my responsibility because I believe that they need this type of care. And even if very few of those 3-year-olds are going to have anisometropia or amblyopia or need glasses or anything like that, it's still, I believe in the importance of it enough to carry through on that commitment. I think that's exactly what we're talking about, is that how you can see how our beliefs kind of can propel us in our actions. The other common example that I think of is when you and I work with practices on their 9-9 codes, and when we're trying to get them to understand the differences between a 9-9-2, 3, and 4 code, what we're trying to help them understand is that what often propels a doctor to put down a 2 instead of a 3 or a 3 instead of a 4 is usually just a feeling. You know, at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, I just don't feel like that was that valuable to them. Like, it didn't take too much of my time. I know this person, so I'm just going to, it's okay. But what we have to do in those moments is fall back onto the belief in the value that we just provided that patient, right? So we need to fall back on, like, what we just provided them was great value, whatever we were treating, and therefore, whatever lines up factually with the coding, with the documentation of our chart, that's what we need to use. And that's where we will get more value, or we'll have a better returned value to the care, and that value and then the care we provide will be better matched up.
So I'm with you. But in this bonus episode, I want to kind of focus on solutions. So in this case, how do you view, So I would look at what I would kind of start and say, what kind of values, how do I solve for this? How do I solve for, maybe I've got an underperforming level 2 or level 3 or level 4. Like, what would be the solution? And not for that specific problem, but for the general problem, maybe that's not what you want to solve for, but how would you go around about looking for that solution?
Yeah, I would look at, like, your practice, and if you're listening to this and you probably know the one or two things in your practice right now that you need to improve on, right? Everybody knows, like, I can probably come up with a couple things. Yeah, those are areas that need to be improved, or those are areas that I need to not only change myself, but my team needs to change. And maybe it's maybe it is pediatric management. Maybe it's myopia management. Maybe it's dry eye. And I would look at that not in terms of what actions you need to take, But look at that and understand, like, what, I know this is sounds self-helpy, like you kind of alluded to before, but what am I believing about this problem? Like, what do I believe about dry eye? What do I believe about myopia management? And then also, like, assess your, not only assess yourself, but assess your team. Like, what does your team actually believe about this? Like, if your team, if you have, you know, we see this a lot of times, like if you introduce, you know, you had Practice Pal on this week on the podcast, and maybe you've created it, you've got a new piece of software and they're really struggling with it and they're not implementing it at all. There's a good chance it's not the protocol. There's a good chance it's not the actions that they're struggling with. It's a good chance that they're actually struggling with believing in the usefulness of it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just the first step is really like being aware of, like, you know, the changes we're trying to make aren't just about the plan, aren't just about the actions. There's also a component to it that our beliefs play a huge part in. And so it's just kind of being aware of that, understanding that. And maybe if it's dry eye, it's, hey, you're just going to go take some more, you know, dry eye courses online, or you know, we have some on iCode Education that you can dive into, some protocols for dry eye, or maybe it's from myopia management, or maybe you just need to read some papers on that to, like, build your conviction for that particular topic. And so I think the solution is starting with ourselves and then understanding that our beliefs play a huge role in the actions we take with trying to make changes.
But this is the hard part, Kyle, is because I like to wrap these up, these bonus episodes up with some sort of action.
Yeah.
And yet what you're saying is you have to have a belief to drive an action. Okay, so, but if you had to do that, we're going to say, what would be your action plan to try to, like, how could you actually change your beliefs? Is there something I can do that will at least get me someplace closer? So action plan, what ought to do to help change this belief?
Yeah. So I think it's just, what's your goal? Set a goal for the next year from, you know, Q2 2024 to Q2 2025. You know, what's that 1 year goal? Or maybe it's shorter than that. Maybe it's just 90 days. And then look at that goal and just ask yourself, like, what belief do I need to believe, or what identity do I need to adopt in order to make that happen? Like, what has to be true about my thinking about that, or about my team's thinking about that, in order to make that happen? And then the next step, to make it even more practical, is like, okay, what are 2 to 3 actions that are going to reinforce that belief, right? So what is the belief that that you need to adopt, and then what are 2 or 3 actions that are going to continuously reinforce those beliefs, and just work on those things. And then you're going to see, if you focus on both the mindset aspect of it and the action component, you're going to see the goal being accomplished for sure.
So one of the, to again, I think that's great. And so one of the things that this might look like, if we're talking about myopia, right, or not even myopia, but just seeing kids in general, right, with all the other complexities that they have, is if my belief now is that I am the best place, my practice is the best place for children, 6 months and up, then one of the things I would have to do, to one of the two, you know, 2 to 3 daily, you know, weekly actions would be, you know, making sure that maybe our front desk staff or the person that's taking the phone calls, or even myself, maybe all three of them, are saying, "Hey, Mrs. Smith, I, you know, we're talking about your kids. Who does Sally see? You know, your 5-year-old or your 4-year-old, who do they see for their eye doctor? We love to see kids here, and there's lots of different things that kids can have going on with their eyes that you wouldn't know, and that their pediatrician would miss. And so we'd love to see her and make sure that she can see all the things that she needs to see." I mean, I'm butchering it a little bit, but that's perfect. Like, that would be an action, right? That would be an action. Yep. And if I really believe that deep down that those kids need to be seen, then that would be an action to help reinforce it. And if I do that, I say, look, I got to do this once a day, right? Check it off the box. Once a day, check it off the box. Now, all of a sudden, in a year, in 90 days, it becomes automatic, right? That habit is automatic. And when you start seeing those patients back, now your belief system is kind of reinforced, because I am the place to take care of patients. So I think Precisely. That's great. I think that's how that action plan becomes workable. So listen, if you guys like this bonus episode, take some of Kyle's recommendations on finding a solution, having an action plan to help reinforce your beliefs. Listen, if you also want some additional help and resources, we have them on iCodeEducation.com. We would love to work with you. We have lots of, we call it comprehensive optometry simplified. And we see lots of doctors that are frustrated and unsure about how they're going to manage different clinical situations. They feel defeated. They don't feel like they can practice the way they can practice. We would love to work with you. Check out the show notes and we'll see you guys on the next one.